Spending thousands just to get to appointments and receive medical care, that is the reality for some living rurally in BC who can't access primary care in their own communities. The BC Rural Health Network has been asking for more supports for residents for years. New research backs up what the organization has called the Rural Health Tax. Paul Adams is Executive Director of the Rural Health Network. He joins me today to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
What is, how you refer to it, the Rural Health Tax?
Well, there is just simply an additional cost for individuals living in rural BC, and that is true across all regions of British Columbia. And you guys up in the North Sea see that a lot, considering the isolation and the remoteness of many communities in the North. And we see that as being a hardship and creates inequity in health outcomes for some residents versus others. So we're looking for the government to assist those residents in seeking the care that they need and deserve.
Your research was able to put a dollar amount on that tax. How much are they spending?
So to be clear, sorry, Bill.
No worries.
To be clear, the research is not that of the BC Rural Health Network. It is from the Centre of Rural Health Research out of UBC. And Dr. Jude Cornelson is a lead researcher with the Centre of Rural Health Research and has spent decades doing research on rural health issues. So it's her research paper. And the amount that came from this particular research was around $2,000 was the average that an individual spends on an individual condition when needing to travel for specialist care and diagnostics, etc.
What is the impact of those costs on those that have to shoulder them?
So I think, again, we like to look at things through a rural lens, and when we do that, we like to look at them from the most disadvantaged members of the community and residents in general. And so when you're in a poverty situation or a low-income situation, and you have the stress and the stresses of having a medical condition for requiring treatment, and then you're looking at those additional expenses and costs coming directly out of your pocket, but there's a certain percentage of people who will just choose not to seek care. And they may have an acute condition, which could be quite treatable. And by not seeking care, that condition becomes chronic. And then we start to see the downstream increase in costs for the taxpayer and for the system in general. So the situation applies to everyone. You could be we do expect living rurally to have additional costs in transportation and getting to appointments and these types of things. But the need is to ensure that we have health equity for rural residents across the province.
When we talk about health equity, I understand it is not feasible to have all services in all communities at all times. So what are we talking about when we talk about a solution that would provide health equity?
So there are some initiatives in play to reimburse costs for people. We just don't think that they extend far enough. And we need to basically address travel and accommodation expenses, which are going to be placed on the resident patient, and make sure that those costs are available to people up front or at the point of appointment to ensure that they seek care. But we need to make sure that it doesn't become a burden in them seeking care. So we have a variety of solutions, and we have, again, we have suggestions for the ministry and the minister and various ministries around transportation and the need to improve transportation corridors. But there's also simplifying the system and ensuring that there's more efficiency within the booking of appointments and making sure that they coordinate with transportation options. So it's not just as simple as getting someone to an appointment. We also have to make sure that they have the ability to return home from that appointment, and that if there is public transportation options within a community, that we coordinate services around them To ensure that that those are streamlined and effective, and again, the money being spent is being spent wisely and reaching the people that need it the most.
Whose responsibility should it be to foot the bill for things like travel accommodation, other expenses related to healthcare travel?
Well, you know, we have a public health system which applies to everyone, so we think it is it does fall on the Ministry of Health. That may indirectly fall upon health authorities, but the bottom line is that it's part of the need of seeking adequate care is reaching the appointments, reaching the specialists, and reaching the diagnostics that people need. And that doesn't necessarily, again, the most important piece is trying to keep people to stay in place, so bringing those services to them. Having additional remote services come to communities, traveling specialists, for example, or being able to have virtual care, and virtual pharmacies, virtual care from a pre-surgical consultation point of view or from psychiatry, and making sure that we do everything we can to keep people in place within their community. We've seen this incredible challenge that we've had in primary care provision, the loss of doctors from communities, and that has just been exacerbated with the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm. So the situation is we need to stabilize healthcare within communities, and if we're unable to, then we need to assist people in reaching that care where they need to be sent to. And when we're dealing with communities in the north, you know, you'd look at Fort Nelson. You may have an 8-hour commute to reach a specialist appointment or more. And that obviously becomes an extreme burden if you're not in a financial situation to cover those costs.
What are you hoping decision makers can take away from this report?
I think that this report is just one of many. And again, we see the need to have research in place and evidence supporting positions that we bring forward. I think the biggest piece for the BC Rural Health Network is to be included so in policy and decision making, and to have an open dialogue with government so that we can provide that perspective from the rural resident pan-provincially all across BC. And again, we've seen our membership rise dramatically with an increase in municipal members of late. We have over 20 municipalities that now join us as a member. And it's because the voice of the resident is at least from the resident's perspective, they don't feel that they're being heard, and that we believe that there's creative solutions that come from communities, and that we need to include the community voice back into decision-making. So that would be the one main thing that we would like to see, is more community engagement. We'd like to see an organization like ours, which has a pan-provincial reach and works at the grassroots within communities, be engaged with in the policy and in the practical application of policy within the rural landscape.
Paul, thank you very much for this.
Well, thank you, though.
Paul Adams is Executive Director of Rural Health Network. He joined me today from his rural home in the Upper Similkameen.